Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, this morning we come on behalf of America. Father, we come because we know that you can do miraculous things. And we are asking you to touch this country. We are asking you, O Lord God, to have mercy. We are asking you, Lord God, that you would just reveal your heart to the churches. Reveal your heart to the shepherds. Reveal your heart to every individual that names the name of Christ. And let us get to that place, God, that we would reach out to you, cry out to you, and see a change in this blessed country. So, Father, we ask in there that you will touch and you will bring about repentance nationwide. Father, we ask in for the election that is about to take place that your man will win. We ask, O God, that you would have mercy and give us, let that person be a person that would be for your people. So, Father, we ask, God, that you would touch every person in America, touch their heart, and let them vote according to your will and your plan. Father, we know that you are in control. And, Father, we understand that whatever you give us, you say that you would never give us more than we can bear. So we thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. And we pray that the peace of God will be with us always. The shalom. In Jesus' name. And Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask, O God, that you would guide, lead, help us to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're still in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. And you all would have to bear with my reading once again. But to Jonah, this seems very wrong. Well, that's NIV. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is bitter for me, you know, I read that twice and I keep saying bitter, but better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in it shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade to his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and send this, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. I know about that when I'm doing cutting the grass. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about this plant?" "It is," he said. "And I'm so angry. I wish I was dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there is more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Help us, Jesus. And Jonah's reaction to God's work. Point one, Jonah's reaction to God's work. But Jonah, when I did my sermon, I did it in ESV, so you may get both versions along the way. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." Displeased Jonah, and he was angry. I wonder how many of you took thought of that this week. I said to you all, take thought of that one line. I don't know about you, but have you ever been angry because God did something you didn't like? Some of us get angry when God takes a loved one unexpectedly. And we like to sometimes say it's the devil, but let me tell you something. God is in control of everything. God puts a limit on what he could do and what he cannot do. We don't see the future. All we know is the present. God see the past, the present, and the future. Jonah was angry. His response. You know, for a short period this year, I find myself getting angry very easily. I don't know what brought it on. Maybe for the first time in my life, I have 5 children living in the house. Just maybe. And one day my response was so bad, I said to God, I said, "Lord, I don't know why I'm getting so angry, but I pray that you take me back to where I used to be. I was a person that never really got angry, and I want to go back there." It's true, when I was back there, most people would say, "You are a pushover." Well, guess what? God, I'd rather be a pushover than an angry person. That's just me. And guess what? Everything that comes into my life, even by my doing, it says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So therefore, whatever is making me angry, God wants to use it for my benefit, and I don't need to get angry. I need to say to myself, "God, do what you're doing." Boy, what difference would it be if we all, before we get angry, we just say, "God, do what you want to do. This anger is not of you." Do you know that Jonah should have never been angry? You know why? He knew God. He knew God very well. He may have known God better than some of us know God. Listen what he said. You see, Jonah, he responded in prayer and he said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." Have you ever been in a place and you know exactly what God has told you to do and you avoid it because you don't want to do what God tells you to do? Have God ever asked you to forgive somebody, but when you see them, you go the opposite direction because you know if I go in that direction, I got to do what God tells me to do? Sometimes we are very good of running from what God tells us to do because this is how we justify it. If I don't see them, I don't have to do it. Therefore, I'm in right standing with God. But hear what he said. He knew God. He says this: "For I know that you are a gracious God." Thank you, Jesus. "I know that you are a gracious God. I know that you are a merciful God. I know that you're a God that is slow to anger. I know that you're a God, that you are abounding in steadfast love. I know that you're a God that relents." Jonah knew God. Some of you here this morning know God. You know God is merciful. You know God is gracious. You know God is loving. You know God is slow to anger. And yet, what the Bible is telling us, we must be like our God. You know what? I like it when God gives me grace. I love it. And I get grace every day. Even though I'm a pastor, sometimes the things that go through my mind, Jesus, help me. Grace, Lord. And sometimes I do stuff and I know it deserves a good discipline. And when I'm waiting for the discipline, I realize that God has given me mercy. Some of us here today is because of God's great mercy. We know about God's mercy. We have experienced God's mercy. And then he said, slow to anger. You know something? I am glad that Jesus went to the cross. You know why? Because he suffered the wrath of God on my behalf. The anger of looking at sin. Abundant in steadfast love. My best, I've always loved this. It says, love covers a multitude of sin. Praise God, that's why I'm in right standing. When God loves, looks at me, he sees not the sin because the love of God covers and hides and removes all that sin because it covers it. And once we repent, God forgives. He says, relenting from his disaster. Jonah knew God. Jonah knew who God was. Jonah knew the character of God. And this morning, God requires us to have the same type of character. But he was unwilling to see it God's way. You know, some of us have personalities like this. You do wrong, you must pay. I'm telling you, if you would think right now, just take a self-examination. Some of us have this personality. You do wrong, bam! Well, I don't know where Jonah got his hard heart towards Nineveh. I don't know. Maybe it was something brought up in the household. Those Ninevehs, those Ninevites, thank you, my dear sweetheart, they need to suffer the wrath of God. Maybe there's something taught at home to the kids. I believe the thing that we have right now in America that they call prejudice will never be here if parents would stop talking to their kids. If the adults would leave the kids alone and stop talking to the kids, prejudice will be gone. So I don't know if if it was a prejudice against the Ninevites that was taught, and he just felt they needed to be gone. Maybe there was an injury. Maybe there was maybe he told one of the Ninevites a secret. It's confidential. Don't tell anybody. And they went and tell the person that you told not to tell. And now he is mad. And he's been holding this thing in for years and years and years and years. And now God called him to the same person he has something in his heart against. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you in that same position. There's people sitting right here that is in that position today. I have no doubt in my mind. Let me see what else I put down. Maybe he was walking down the street and I can't remember who was telling me this story. Ah, yeah, I remember who told me this story. He was going from school, nice and calm, walking with his friends. And when he crossed the tracks, he got a tap on his shoulder and wham, broken jaw, doing nothing just because he was white. His friend with him, and his friend didn't run as fast as he did. And his friend got a beaten up, end up in the hospital. Just maybe that was you. You got to a place where now you allow it to be in your heart and carrying it for such a long time. Maybe that's what, maybe Jonah was like the guy that was heading to Jerusalem and got beaten up. Just maybe. The Bible never really tells us what and why Jonah was holding this thing so hard in his heart and couldn't let it go. And Jonah said, like some of us would say, do you know that some of us have sins? We say, people do something and say, I can't forgive that. Well, this is what Jonah said. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life. For it's better me to die than to live. It's better for me to die than to live because I did not see their destruction. Because they are getting what they don't deserve. The preacher's commentary says this about Jonah. For a willful, controlling person, there is nothing so abhorrent as not being able to control God. And so he ran ahead of God. But out there alone, destructive anger turned into self-destructive despair. The only thing left that Jonah can control is whether he lives or died. Or dies. You know what? Sometimes I wonder. Now, this, I'm not saying anything about suicide. But I wonder sometimes, some of the people that do that if they don't fall in the category is things are just not going my way, God. It's better for me to die. God, I've been serving you so long, but if this is what it's going to be, if you're going to let my enemies just be blessed, there's nothing more for me. Just take me. I praise God that he didn't take his life, but he turned to God. He is trying to tell God what's best. It's best for them to be destroyed, and if they are not destroyed, it's best for me to be destroyed. Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? I like how one translation put it. Do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you? And then why are you angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry? You know, Jesus has a good reason to be angry. He has a very good reason to be angry. Wait a minute. Father, you letting me leave my comfort. In fact, I sit right next to you. I have everything I need. In fact, I have more power than you could imagine. But I had to give that up. Not only that, I have to come down to this earth that is full of sin that I can't stand. Not only that, I got to put on flesh. And then allow these that I have created to whip me, put me on a cross, crucify me. He had a lot to be angry. But not my will be done, thy will be done. That's our problem. The reason why we get angry is because we want our will. We want the husband to act right, my will. We want the children to act right, my will. We want the church to act right, my will. We want the pastor to act right, my will. We want the employer to act right, my will. My will, me. Question again. Do you have a right to be a reason, a real good reason to be angry? Anger comes when we are not having it our way. The second time, the question comes to Jonah. What are you angry about? First, let me read to you James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Whenever you respond in anger, you're not producing what God wants you to produce. But praise God, he don't go by how we respond, he go by his heart. Jonah went out of the city and he sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city. Let me tell you, that had to be real anger. You had to be real angry even after you know what God has done. That you pull up a chair and looking and expecting God still to destroy him. Something, he just couldn't let it go. After he see what, he still pull up a chair and looking. But here's the thing. God always have a way of teaching us. Always. He always have a way of teaching us. First, let me read this. I have this here. From another commentary, it says, we play God when we continue to be angry at people and groups when God has pronounced his forgiveness. We take their punishment into our own hands, whether in negative attitude, vindictive words, or hostile, destructive actions. We run ahead of God in meeting out what we think, in measuring out what we think justice demands. And he asked, is that your right? God is the one who said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Jonah's response should be, no, Lord, you are right. I have no reason to be angry. God wanted to show Jonah his heart. God gives. Sometimes we mistake God's blessing in our disobedience stage as blessings, and it could be teachings. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was extremely glad because of the plant. Because you are experiencing joy in the Lord doesn't mean he agrees with what's in your heart. I say that one more time. Because you are enjoying joy in the Lord does not mean that he's okay with what's in your heart. Maybe he's trying to tell you something, and maybe he's saying, this joy that you have is from me, and I want to give it to others, so get with the program. I just wonder for a minute, if when that plant come up and he experienced the goodness of God, the mercy of God covering his head from the sun, the long suffering of God speaking to his heart, if he didn't say, you know what? If God can do that for me, they too deserve it. But there was no repentance in his heart. I wonder if that tree would have stand there. You know, Jonah should have been having at that point a great celebration. He should have been jumping and praising God. He is in the shade and the people are saved and hallelujah. But God gives and God takes away. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. It died. And he was teaching Jonah. What is God teaching you that you're not listening? What is God teaching you? Sometimes when you're so blessed, and then the next minute you're not so blessed. Or sometimes when you have so much joy and the next minute there is no more joy. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. Just maybe. Not in every situation, but just maybe. And here's Jonah. After all of this. And the Lord asked him. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind And the sun beat on his hair and the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Still no repentance. I wonder if the reason why he couldn't see what God was trying to teach him is because his heart was cluttered with anger, with sin, with unforgiveness. And he just couldn't see what God was trying to teach him. All he can see, it was what was present in front of him. I had shade, and now I have none. And listen what anger does. His anger, sometimes you say, you know, he's right to be angry. They did him something really bad. He's right to be angry. But he held it so long, now he's getting angry over everything. Now it's a plant. You know, when you hold on to anger and you hold on to it, sometimes the person just look at you wrong. What are you looking at? Or you in church and you're over here in the corner. But you see Harry and Ellie Edgen over there talking and you think, there they go again talking about me. Why? Because you've held on to anger and unforgiveness for so long that now everybody is in the boat with you. Come on now. Now it doesn't take much to get you angry at all. The person in front of you stay too long at the register, you're mad. The car pull in front of you, you're mad. But you do the same thing. The salesperson don't seem like they know what they're doing, you're mad. Your dress don't fit right, you're mad. Why? You hold on to anger so long that now everything is about anger. Everything is about your response. I wonder that's why he couldn't see it, but that's just me. And now he's ready to die for anything because nothing is working out the way he wants it to work out. First, I want you to kill those blooming people. Take them off of the old. Call down fire and brimstone. Burn them up. And now I have a nice little plant over me. I'll experience some nice cool. And look at this. Heat. Headache. Kill me now. It's all about me. Your anger will not produce the righteousness of God. And God says to Jonah, you do well to be angry for this plant. Do you have a right to be angry over this plant? This thing just come up overnight and died overnight. You have a right to be angry? This is a little thing. I want you to see the big picture. God wants us to see the big picture. The reason why he said be angry and do not sin is because God sees the big picture. The reason why God says our anger does not produce righteousness because he wants us to see the big picture, the big picture. And the Lord said, you pity this plant, for which you did not labor and did not make grow, which came into being in the night and perish in a night. And you should not, and should not I pity the Ninevite? The Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left. And also much cattle. What is God saying? My desire is to see people repent. My desire is to see people come to God. And a lot of times, if we as Christians walk in anger and we respond with anger, we lose a lot of opportunity to win people to the Lord. If you suffer with anger, one of the scriptures you should learn is, my anger, put yourself in there, my anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Wednesday, Harry said, we should be depending on the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you should have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit should be guiding you. And I guarantee you, when you get angry and you respond in that anger, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. God wants to save lives. When you are angry, guess what happens? You sometimes are hindering people from coming to God because they say, if that's the kind of God they serve, I don't want it. I was at, can't remember the store, I wouldn't call his name, but I was going in a store to buy something. And as I'm going in, no, it's a restaurant. And as I go in the restaurant, I was going to ask them about catering, what they cost to cater, something like that. And I'm walking in the restaurant, and here is the manager and somebody who had eaten at the restaurant. And that person is mad and talking to her mad, and she said, and he said, I don't have to come back here. And she said, I don't want you to come back here. And then after that, I heard something like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Something like that. And I'm thinking, that wasn't a very good witness. I wish you didn't even say anything about God after that. If you had on a shirt that said, Jesus is Lord, go take it off. Because it really didn't do anything for the kingdom of God. Her response in anger to his response did not produce the righteousness of God. And many of us could control anger, you know. In a setting like this on Sunday morning, if you get angry, you probably would not respond. You know why? It's all about you, and you care how you look. You care what the people in the church think about you. But when you go to Walmart, and the person in front of you is taking too long, and you say what you have to say, you don't care. And then you're hoping. In fact, you believe no other believer is standing there. I went to return something at a store, because you know you can't try anything on in the stores anymore, so you have to take it home, and then you have to try it on home, and then if it don't fit right, you have to take it back. I don't understand what the difference is, but you have to take it back. They're probably going to hang it up on and put it back on the shelf anyway. And I'm standing there, and I'm waiting. This lady is apologizing because she was taken. I said, "No, ma'am, no problem at all. I'm fine." Why I'm fine? Because I have a few stuff too. And when I get up there, I'm going to take a little while too. I don't need to be angry. But I look behind me and I see the line, and I could tell those that are not very happy. Anger is not a good thing. And the only reason we could walk in so much anger, I believe, now this is a belief. The word of God doesn't tell me this. I believe a person who walks in a lot of anger has a lot of unforgiveness deep down in their heart. And until they take care of that anger, whenever it happened, 5 years old and you're still walking with it at 70 years old, 20 years old and you're still walking with it at 80 years old, and you're still angry all the time, guess what? I guarantee you, if you would deal with some of those unforgiven situations, you would find that anger would start to subside. And let me tell you something. When you walk, I'm telling you, I walked the most uptight road when I was getting angry so easily. I walked the most uptight road. But when I walk where I'm not getting angry, it is so peaceful. It is so peaceful. We talked Wednesday night about anger as I closed. And I was given some reasons, and somebody pointed out to me, I said this, sleep. If you are not getting good sleep, you could be an angry person. Then get some good sleep. Sometimes you pray about stuff and it's all about how you live your life too. Get some good sleep. So I go to the doctor this week and I'm in the office and the doctor and there's a screen. And guess what comes on the screen? People who don't get good sleep are most likely to be angry. I just told them that Wednesday. People that are hungry get angry. If you're one of those type of person, when your belly starts to go groom, 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 and you get angry, put some granola bar in your purse, in your pocket, Snickers, because it transforms you by the commercial. So you can satisfy the hunger of your body so you don't snap at somebody. Because your anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, this is the one, I'm not giving you a reason to justify your sin. This is not to justify your sin. Some of us need a little help. Go to the doctor. Get some pills if you think you need a little help. That doesn't mean because I may have an issue, I could sin, it's okay. Because the people who murder and kill, serial killers, who has some kind of chemical imbalance, that's the only, or demonic or whatever it is, it's still sin. So even if you have a chemical imbalance, it is still sin. If go to the doctor, get a little help. Do what I call it is do whatever you can so that you can produce the righteousness of God. Fall down on your face and cry out to God, Lord, let Holy Spirit in me guide me every day and help me to obey. I believe that anger and unforgiveness is linked together. And I believe that the church have an epidemic, that's the word? Epidemic. Epidemic of anger and unforgiveness. And we are unwilling to deal with it because, number one, we may think that that person, whoever it is, deserve it. And we don't want to let them off the hook. Letting them off the hook, they're going to get away too easy. Guess what? Praise God, I got away real too easy. Jesus died for me. Well, it's too painful. Oh, I got away too easy. Jesus took all that pain. You could imagine that crown, that nail, that whipping, that sword. If Jesus could take that pain for me, I can take that pain for him. Sometime, if you want to find out what it's like, you could ask Ed. Ed gives a story of the things he held for a long time. At one night, with the help of two godly friends, he was able to let it go. And he said, it's like a weight that was lifted. God wants to lift that weight off your shoulder this morning. I was going to ask to come down, but I'm not going to do that. Because some of you wouldn't come down because you wouldn't even admit that you have a problem with anger. Well, see that she's that. If you have a problem of getting upset very easily, why don't you come? God wants to set us free. I'm telling you, God wants to set us free. Whatever it is, he wants to set you free. Because let me tell you something. There's, oh my gosh, have you ever, look, Sissy carries a book bag to school. It's as heavy as can be. And one day I'm in the driveway and she couldn't take it anymore. I said, why you don't put the book bag down? The floor is wet. I guarantee you, she feels a relief when she takes that off. You're all going to experience a relief today. I believe that. I believe that you guys are going to experience a relief today because God has the power. The first thing, would you close your eyes, use up here? Close your eyes. I want you to right now ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's anything in your heart or mind that you have not totally forgiven. You may have said you're forgiven, but you're not totally forgiven. You may have said the words, but you don't act it out. I want you right now to ask God to forgive you of that. And then I want you to tell God that you forgive that person. I want one person to come up and stand behind each person. Would one person come that is there and stand up behind each person? Jesus. 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 Two. Okay. One more. There we go. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. There's nothing I hold on to. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for the anointing right now. I pray, God, for the anointing to lay hands on your people and see deliverance. Father God, let your anointing fall in this place. Let it fall on those here that has been willing to admit and is ready for freedom. Father God, as hands are laid on them, we pray, oh God, there would be a breakthrough and freedom will occur in the name of Jesus. That the anger that has been binding them up for so long will be gone in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, oh God, that they would be released by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by your power, oh God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I anoint my hands in Jesus' name. Lord God, I anoint my hands and I ask, oh God, that you would make my hands an extension of you, oh God, that you will touch, that you would heal, that you will deliver in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come, oh God. We come asking, oh God. You, Lord, you said, oh God, if we only believe, we can say to this mountain, be rooted up and cast into the sea. And Lord, we speak to the mountain of anger in the name of Jesus. And we command you to be rooted up and cast in the sea in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray for anger to be gone in Jesus' name. Every form of anger, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus,